This is Radio MN Artists. I'm Mario Morstead. Independent filmmaker Gabriela Long was born in Costa Rica and raised in Duluth. After attending the Purpich Center for the Arts in the Twin Cities, Bradford College in Massachusetts, and the University of Iowa, Long established Taviette Film Productions in 1999. Taviette focuses on autobiographical and biographical short documentary films with a commitment to documenting stories of those who leave a legacy of their own making. Long is also a photographer and a director of music videos and art films. She is currently premiering her film, Perspectives on Stepan, which explores the dress, attitude, and personal outlooks on Stepan, a form of dance rooted in African-American culture.
When I was 15 and 16 in Duluth, Minnesota, where I grew up, there was this thing called the Recycle Bell. And the Recycle Bell had all these Battle of the Bands and indie and grunge and punk and, you know, you've got it all. Like, awesome musical, creative, and musical mecca, if you will. So a lot of my life as a teenager was hanging out in these coffee shops and meeting these musicians. And then my grandfather, I was 17, I sat there at the funeral thinking, well, I'm never going to have a story, not a visual story about this man. I lost that ability to be able to get him on video or whatever there was at the time, probably VHS. And that drew me to just continuing my studies at the Rudy Purpich, which I went there for literary arts. I didn't go there for film. But I tapped into photography because, you know, it was this mystery element about what goes on in the dark room and how do people get these photographs. So from there, you know, I'm an abstract thinker. I can hold a lot of different stuff in the air all at once. What venue, what professional means will I be able to find to do all of these different things that I want to do, from writing to music to photography to videography? And it's happened to be film, where I could go and draw from and collaborate with so many different people to create this one outcome and this one visual outlet, if you will. So that's really how it came about, was just kind of being really regretful about missing, you know, really vital wisdom from my grandfather. And then I've made a business out of it. So now it's more like, what is really being underrepresented out there? What is the mainstream media really dealing with? But then what am I really dealing with in my backyard? So I know there's a huge split knowing what's mainstream and cultural, and then really knowing where to focus in to really be able to tell a story of, again, as cliche as it may sound, you know, everyday folk. You know, I just jumped on YouTube for the first time probably like 2 weeks ago. I haven't owned a TV in 12 years. A big part of why I keep myself isolated and have kept myself isolated is because I like to refer back the stuff I learned in film school, anywhere from the Battle of Potemkin all the way to, you know, Cinema Paradiso. So anything that is really well constructed in a cinematic means and form, like, I'm after that. Like, I want to know what is the best of the best that you can have. And I'm talking primarily in mathematical terms. You've got your 180 degree line as a filmmaker, and then you're working with any 365 degrees of that circumference. So when you stand in the middle of a room and you're really looking around to see how your elements, your language of film, mise-en-scène elements, are really going to together, you're really looking at that light and that angle, but then you also have lighting coming through that window, and you've got movement, and you've got sound, and you've got all these different things. How are you going to really, how am I going to really take it and run with it to make the most aesthetically pleasing visual that I can possibly create yet in a documentary, where I'm not elishing or creating an experience for anybody, but really working with what I have in front of me at that time. I'm a sucker for beauty. I love anything that is beautiful, but I don't just love beauty for the sake of beauty. I love aesthetics more than I love beauty. So, you know, from the moment I held a camera, like, I'm not saying I was amazing. I'm saying I just kind of had a natural knack for being able to look through the viewfinder and being able to naturally arrange composition. So that came together really easily. You know, talk about eye candy. It's just fun. But really what I've had to hone and really become a professional at in the last decade has been how to tell the best story. Not just a story, but the best story that there can be told within the subject matter that I'm working with. What really compels me is anything that has any real value in the sense of honesty and creativity and intellectuality and philosophy and all these different aspects that come together for me that really create something passionate in me. That's when I can really stand back and say, God, that's really worth giving it a year of my life. Yeah.
You know, now that I've been officially acclimated to the stepping game, I gotta agree with Kels that stepping is not just what you see on the dance floor. It's all of that and much, much more. It's etiquette and manners. It's culture and refinement, baby. It's the renaissance or rebirth of chivalry. The behavior of ladies and gentlemen towards one another. And speaking of gentlemen,
my current project is Perspectives on Steppin'. You know, I went into this project with the intent of it being something, and I'm not going to tell you what that something is as far as storyline, but something other. It became this movie about these really great commentary and interviews and B-roll and, you know, film scoring, and all this amazing stuff came out of it, telling the story on the perspectives of the people who do it. So it wasn't me being like, I'm going to try to gear or direct or redirect the storyline to be what I thought it was going to be. Instead, it just became, it told me what it was going to become to be. So through and by the process of editing, you know, these people's perspectives and commentary on being African-Americans dealing with all the issues any race deals with, and then being able to find time to create that communal aspect of arts where they all come together and they step and they dance, and, you know, it derives as far as back as the Zulu Kings, and then from there to like the jitterbug and the bop and stepper's walk, and, you know, all the way to contemporary stepping. And so I just felt like, you know, a lot of this African American dance is rooted in slavery times, and, you know, back to like the broom is a particular dance to do in wedding ceremonies and whatnot, and it's still held. And so I felt like something with such rich and such roots in this particular civilization, I just felt like, well, confused. Like, why isn't it being told? Why didn't I know about it? And like doing a research on this stuff was just a pain in the, because it's like, why don't we have this in history books? Or, you know, I mean, a lot of African American history is oral tradition, just like the Mayan or, you know, the Ojibwe, but it was very difficult for me to understand as to why it hadn't been exposed more, even on a more academic level. I was like, well, okay, then I guess we better start doing some research.
Radio MN Artists is brought to you by MNArtists.org, a project of the Walker Art Center and the McKnight Foundation, and KFAI Fresh Air Radio.